Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Daniel, the first chapter. Daniel, the first chapter. Well, we're kicking off a new year with a new theme. Our theme for 2026 is conquer. 2026 is going to be a year of conquer for you and your family. I'm going to just go ahead and speak that over your life right now. 2026 is going to be a year of conquering, a year of new territory, a year of new advancement, a year of taking back what the enemy has stolen from you, a year of conquering. You're going to embarrass the devil. The grace of God is going to get bigger in your life. The love of Jesus Christ is going to grow in your life. And you are more than a conqueror through Him. Come on. As a matter of fact, our theme scripture is Romans chapter 8, verse 37. And I want you to memorize this because we'll be reading it a lot. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Why don't we read that together? Why don't we go back old school like we're in kids' church and say our memory verse together? I'll give us a cadence and we'll say it together. Are you ready? One, two, three. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Come on, somebody. That's a word for 2026. You are more than a conqueror through Him, through Jesus Christ. That's our theme this year. You're going to hear a lot about it in the next few weeks. My goal for you this morning, whether you're watching online or here in person, my goal for you this morning is to awaken a conquering spirit that is in you, that Jesus has installed in you and deposited inside of you, to awaken that conquering spirit. And if you are not full of the Spirit of Christ this morning, my goal for you is that you would leave change. You would leave filled. You would leave saved. You would leave transformed. That there would be a new beginning in you for 2026. And you would leave differently than you came. We're kicking off the year with a season of prayer and fasting. And you might have received one of these booklets for your family. We have them available. Make sure you grab one. It's going to lead you through a five-day devotion this week to help you launch 2026 with prayer and fasting as a key. So I want you to grab one of those and declare over your family, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Well, one quick announcement I almost forgot. We missed you last week. We were in Michigan, and God did not disappoint. Winds of 50 miles an hour, snow like crazy, couldn't see 10 feet in front of your face. The waves on Lake Michigan were 20 to 30 feet tall. I didn't know that was a thing, and so we did some surfing. Yep, no, I'm just kidding about the second part. The first part was true. And our daughter went to Okinawa, Japan to visit her boyfriend, and she came back engaged. So Macy's getting married. Congratulations to our Macy. We have prayed for God to send her a mate, and we've sensed that the Lord has done that. A fine young man, a graduate of the Naval Academy. He's a Marine platoon commander, an infantry platoon, and she will be a military wife. At least for a little bit. Yeah, till he finishes his contract or re-ups. There you go. Congratulations, Macy. She's getting married tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. get her off the books at the beginning of the year. That was also a joke. Thank you, Frank, for laughing. Number one, I will build a foundation through prayer and fasting. How do I become a conqueror? You become a conqueror by building a foundation. And I want to challenge you to build a foundation for the year, for the next 21 days, through focused prayer and fasting. We have several prayer meetings that will meet through the week. Tuesday or Monday, we pray right in here at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. Wednesday, right in here at 6:45. Sunday morning, in the prayer room at 8:45. Three prayer meetings, and you get bonus points if you go to all three. You get a star by your name. You get extra bonus points. Take advantage, be part of that. Lead your family in prayer. This booklet will help. Build a foundation. How you enter something sets the tone for that thing. How you start the day sets the tone for the day. How you enter a room sets the tone for the room. How you enter into a relationship sets the tone for that relationship. I remember when I had the privilege to go to Fort Jackson, South Carolina for 8.5 weeks for basic training. And we were expecting the worst, and we met our drill instructor. And we were all surprised at his introduction. He sat us down. He said, "Men, I don't want to be here. I didn't choose this job. Uncle Sam volunteered me for this job. My job is an infantry soldier, and I don't want to be here. But I got to be here, and you got to be here." Now, right now, we're sitting in a circle, and everyone's nice. And I'm talking to you like a rational human being. But tomorrow morning at 4:45, all that changes. I'm going to come in, because at the end of this thing, I want to make you into something lethal that the enemy fears. And I will help you transform. I will help you change. I will help mold and shape you. Now, don't get all crazy and lose your mind. You're going to be tempted to. This is all a game. We're all going to play it. Tomorrow morning, it starts. Are we all clear? Everyone good? Any questions? No? Go to bed. See you tomorrow morning. And he was exactly right. It all changed. How you enter into something sets the tone for that thing. How you enter the year sets the tone for the year. Here's a question. What kind of year do you want to have? What kind of things do you want to leave in 2025 and not take into 2026? What kind of things would you rather keep in your past and not take into the future? What kind of habits do you want to leave behind? What kind of year do you want 2026 to be characterized by? What do you want to control your year? Rather, who do you want to control your year? Daniel chapter 1, we have a story in the Bible about four young men, specifically one man the Bible emphasizes. His name's Daniel. The book is written after him, and here's what it says. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. That is, into the hand of the Babylonian king, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his god in Babylonia and put in the treasure of the house of his god. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Four young men without any physical defect. They were handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after they were to enter into the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But Daniel, verse 8, resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Fasting is biblical. The king changed their names to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all fasted. In the Bible, Dan fasted. Moses fasted. Ezra fasted. Nehemiah and Jonathan fasted. John the Baptist fasted. Esther fasted. Hannah fasted. Paul fasted. Peter fasted. Samson fasted. King David fasted. The church in Acts 13 fasted. Samuel fasted. Elijah fasted. And Jesus fasted. Jesus was asked about fasting in John chapter 9. And some critics came to him and said, "Hey, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" Here's what Jesus said about fasting. Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast." Jesus was talking about his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. He was talking about the era of the church. Then they would fast. Jesus makes three assumptions. He asserts three assumptions for every New Testament believer. Three assumptions: that you would give, that you would pray, and that you would fast. Here's how he says it. When you give, give like this. When you pray, pray like this. And when you fast, fast like this. It's like a cord of three strands that's tied together. There's a cord that's interweaved together that's not easily broken. And if you become a person who practices giving, praying, and fasting, you will see supernatural breakthrough in your life. I want to challenge you to be willing to take on a 21-day fast. Fasting brings clarity. Jesus said this in verse 16 about fasting, Matthew 16. He says, "When you fast, don't look somber." Oh, look how I'm fasting. Do you see how frail my face looks? "Don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face." "Oh, I'm so hungry. You wouldn't believe it. I don't even want to talk about how much fasting I'm doing." They disfigure their faces to show others they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. That's their reward. Man's recognition. But when you fast, don't look like that. Verse 17 says, "But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And look, your Father who sees what is done in secret," underline that, "will reward you." Will reward you. When you fast, not if you fast. Fasting brings a reward. The Father's reward. God gives you focused direction when you fast. The Father will reward you. The reward of fasting is the Father's reward. When you fast, you receive the rewards of the kingdom: righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Burdens and weights are lifted through fasting. Clarity to pray the will of God comes through fasting. Fasting tunes us in to heaven, when all you have to do is rely on Jesus. It begins to cut through the noise of the world. And we are more open and more attuned to hear the voice of God when we fast. Fasting develops our spiritual ear. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against what? Flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." That's your battle. That's your battle. Fasting equips you for battle. Fasting is an act of warfare. Fasting is an act of warfare. One clap for the middle. Fasting is an act of warfare. We declare war on King Stomach, war on King Entertainment, war on King Instant Gratification. Fasting declares war on laziness and spiritual apathy. Fasting declares war on King Self-Confidence. Fasting declares war on King Status Quo and exalts Jesus as the King above all those things. Some of you don't think you can fast, but I'm telling you, you can. Fasting brings clarity in the direction. There are times when we ask for the wrong things. How many look back on your prayer life, hindsight, and you go, man, that is so embarrassing that I prayed for that. You ever had that happen? Oh, I can't believe I prayed so selfishly. I can't believe I was just praying all these selfish, selfish things and missing kingdom things. Fasting helps us to pray the will of God. There are times where we need God to show up and show us something that we're supposed to be asking for. Fasting gives us clarity. If you have a situation where you don't know what to do, it's time to fast. Are you ready to have a heightened sensitivity to the desires of God? Do you need a tender touch of God in your life? Do you desire to know God's will for your life? Is there a dream inside of you that only He can make possible? It's time to fast. Fasting is powerful. Fasting is defined. Biblical fasting is defined this way: giving up specific food and drink for a specific number of days for a specific purpose. Giving up specific food or drink for a specific number of days for a specific purpose. Kurt Romberg wrote in his book, The Discipline of Fasting, he defines fasting this way: denying myself something natural in order to lay hold of something supernatural. Come on, somebody. There's several ways to fast. Let me help you in a practical way. Number one, there's a complete fast. This is a fast where you only drink liquids. You establish the number of days. Then there's a Daniel fast. We're reading that right now in Daniel 1. It's a Daniel fast. It gets its name from, guess who? You guys are great. You guys are sharp, man. From Daniel. Daniel fast. Daniel ate no meat, no sweets, and no bread. You drink water, drink juice, eat fruits and vegetables. Bonus round. Today, we have a special load of fruits and vegetables that you can pick up after the service at the top of the hill in that log cabin-looking building. We got fruits and vegetables for you to take home. Stop by there after the service and pick some up. Then there's the three-day fast. These are all in the Bible. A three-day fast is, guess what? 3 days. This can be a full fast, a Daniel fast, or giving up at least one specific food or drink. Then there's, in the Bible, a partial fast. They would fast basically in the daytime. It would last from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. That is their sundown, or sunup to sundown. You can select what type of fast you want to do during a partial fast, a full fast, a Daniel fast, or giving up one food or drink. And then there's something that I like to call a soul fast. Now, you won't find this in the Bible, but this is a kind of fasting that helps us transition and grow. And with the invention of so many things that distract us, a soul fast is common for anyone who's beginning to fast, or you have issues that prevent you from fasting food. Some of you should not fast food, or at least certain kinds of food, because the doctor will guide you and direct you. Suggestions for a soul fast: abstain from social media. Come on. Getting away from television, other forms of entertainment. Don't shop online on your phone at night. Listen to only worship music and sermons. A transition, a cleansing away, a purging away, creating space for God to fill. Now, if all you do is give up food, that's called a diet. But fasting is replacing that time and that space with God's stuff. So what we're going to do is we're going to give up some things in order to create space for God to fill. And we're going to focus more on prayer. We're going to focus more on reading the Word. We're going to focus more on worshiping and worship music. We're going to fill our homes with those things instead of the crazy things that we fill our homes with. Our schedules are going to become more peaceful. Our body will become more healthy, and our spirit man will be energized through fasting. The truth is, Americans aren't dying of fasting, we're dying of overeating. Fasting cleanses the body. Fasting burns up impurities in the body. It cleanses and repairs. Are you in a health crisis? There's a healthier version, more energetic version, more vibrant version of you waiting on the other side. Now, I would say, don't let that be your motivation for fasting, but I will tell you, it is an end result. You will feel better when it's over. You will feel more energetic. Are you tired of being sluggish and tired? Wish you could do this or that? Some people shouldn't fast. If you're pregnant, you should not fast. If you're a nursing mother, you should not fast. If you're diabetic, you need to talk to your doctor and alter your fast. I'm not a doctor, I just play one on television. Small children should not fast food. Certainly, if you have some sort of health issue, if you're sick or have the flu. But I do remember when our kids were little, elementary, little, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, we'd present it to them. And I encourage you parents, grandparents, to do this. And we lay out what a fast is. And we would talk about what mommy and daddy are doing. And we would say, what do you think God would have you to give up so that you can create space? And here, I remember one, when we first started, one of them says, I think I'm going to give up Skittles. Now, I could give up Skittles for the rest of my life. Mine would be butter pecan ice cream. They're like, I'd give up Skittles. Another one's like, you know what? I'll give up my iPad at night. You know what? That began to change through the years. Then it was, I'm giving up all sweets and all chips and all screen time. And they began to grow as they matured and they were able to make their own decisions as young adults. But children can participate in fasting. Let me ask you a question. What's wrong with shutting the TV down at night? What's wrong with shutting down the internet at night? What's wrong with turning off the cell phones and looking at each other and talking? What's wrong with spending some time at night praying instead of having King iPhone dictate the emotions we're supposed to feel? Fasting is healthy, fasting is good, and everybody can fast. I'll build a foundation through prayer and fasting. Number two, I'll raise my level of expectation through prayer and fasting. I'll raise my level of expectation through prayer and fasting. Here's what I found. We tend to get what we expect. And when we approach God, sometimes that is true as well. I think of the Roman centurion. He expected his daughter to be healed. And he came to Jesus. He said, "You know, Master, heal her." We tend to get what we expect. We need to raise our level of expectation to him who is able to do, come on, exceedingly abundantly, come on, more than we can ask or even imagine. That's the king we serve. Back to Daniel 1, verse 9, says this, "And now God had caused the officials to show favor and compassion on Daniel. But the official told Daniel, 'I'm afraid of the Lord my king.'" So he's afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, "who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance to that of the other young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Fasting brings breakthrough. Fasting stretches you. Listen, fasting will bring the favor of God on your life. You can't earn anything from God. We don't deserve it. It's free. But I'm telling you, when you fast, you begin to align yourself. There's so many things, so many passes that God throws our way. We don't even know they're coming. We don't even want to catch them. We drop them all the time. Fasting aligns you with the will and purposes of God. God had caused the officials to show favor and compassion on Daniel. Daniel said, "All right, let's make a deal. I hear you, but I want to respond to your complaint with, let's test this thing out and you can decide. We don't want to defile ourselves from the king's table. Feed us something else. We'll go with vegetables and water, not the meat and the wine from the king's table. And you decide if you like the results." Now, that's a pretty bold move. That's a pretty bold move to ask an unspiritual person to make a determination if the fast is worth it. And so they do. Here's a takeaway. We are told to fast in secret. However, when you fast, there is outward evidence that something is transforming. There will be a noticeable difference in your life. Others will notice transformation. They will notice something's different. There will be an inward transformation that works itself out. Bad habits begin to diminish. Lack of clarity goes away. Spiritual anemia is dried up, and something begins to come forth because you feed your spirit man and you starve your flesh man, and whatever you feed will grow and whatever you starve will die. Back to the story. Verse 15, at the end of 10 days, they look healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men and ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, listen to this, who were fasting, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter, everybody say every matter. Every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. So when they fasted, what happened? God gave them favor. Fasting brings on the favor of God. The guards allowed it. He said, we'll give it a shot. And the guards said, oh, I like this. They look better. I don't know how they gauged that. I don't know how they determined that. But God gave them favor. God gave them, listen, talents and the gifts to accomplish his will. At the end of the fasting, they had gifts, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that was 10 times greater than the forces of darkness around them. Fasting brings results. Fasting is the hardest spiritual discipline I will probably do this year. And I would say, probably true for you too. I got a question for you. When you've done hard things, did it help you or hurt you? Typically, the level of challenge is equal to the level of reward many times. So one good thing about a blizzard in Michigan is there's snow everywhere. And we went cross-country skiing. You ever been cross-country skiing? It's like walking in the snow, except for you sweat. And you fall down, and your feet are like 6 foot long each. It's like that. It's similar to walking, except for it's a little harder. I'm like, this is great exercise, but you know. And so we went cross-country skiing. And I was a little sore the next day because it's not something I typically do. When you try something new, you might feel it in ways that are new to you, but the benefits outweigh the work every time. Verse 17, they look healthier and better nourished. Verse 17, God gave them knowledge and understanding. You want knowledge and understanding? Verse 17, God gave Daniel supernatural giftings to understand visions and dreams. That's interesting. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 says this. Pursue love and eagerly desire what? Spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. God gave Daniel the spiritual gift of discerning visions and dreams. Verse 19, God elevated them above their peers. Verse 20, God gave them supernatural wisdom and understanding. Verse 20, God used them to defeat worldly and satanic influences. Fasting produces a result. Physical fasting combined with prayer produces spiritual results. It is interesting that those who relied on their own strength and own wisdom and food from the king's table and their own power were outdone by four who refused to defile themselves. It's a kingdom pattern, friend. It's a kingdom pattern. They fasted to remain free from sin, and as a result, they gained skill and talent and wisdom and spiritual gifts. They were trapped by their circumstances, but when they fasted, God opened the door. And the king said, I want these guys at the top. King, ungodly Nebuchadnezzar recognized the gifts in them. God-hating, God-defiling Nebuchadnezzar couldn't deny the giftings that were in these young men. When you fast, Satan is defeated. We become satisfied, I think, to our own peril with some victory. God desires complete victory. The desert prepared Jesus for the garden. Things are released from heaven when we fast. Question, what do you want in 2026? What do you expect this year? What are you believing God for? If God could do, what are the things that you need God to do? How is it that God wants to advance you for His kingdom purposes? What are the things that God wants to do in your family? What are the things that God wants to do in your career? What are the things that God wants to do in your health, in your physical health, in your mental health? Do you want the favor of God in your life? Jensen Franklin says, fasting is like tying a ribbon around your finger to remember God. Fasting is making a space for God in your busy life. Fasting steps into the heart of God, embraces emptiness, withdraws from normal living to make space for God. Fasting empties ourself and fills it with God. Fasting is pulling away from the normal and setting aside time for the spiritual. There are things that will contaminate a fast. Limit your television. Don't fast and then just fill it with whatever. Fast and fill it with time alone. Don't just skip lunch and work. Skip lunch, grab your Bible, read and pray. Spend time in worship. Limit internet, movies, television. I promise you, if you fast, there'll be 4,000 pizza commercials that come across the television. And that cheesy goodness is going to look like liquid gold, baby, coming out that screen. When you fast, everything, you will go through a transformation. Your body will begin to crave things like simple carbohydrates, aka sugar. You might get headaches since you caffeinate yourself into the day. You might feel it in your pores, but after several days, when your body begins to rid itself of those toxins, and your caffeine addiction breaks, it'll take 5 to 10 days for that to stop. Something happens and you get clarity. Something happens and your body begins to function in a way that it was more intended to function like. Fasting is body talk to God. It expresses our seriousness to God. There are two ways to fast, the right way and the wrong way. In Luke 18, there are two groups of people. One fasted to get seen by people, right? They're like disfiguring their faces. Oh, what's wrong with you? No, nothing. I just hadn't eaten lunch. Just all you lunch eaters, go right ahead, sin, and I'm gonna be over here praying for your wretched souls. It's just you've probably just seen the conviction of God on my face. Jesus said, you just got your reward. You want the approval of man? You want to be recognized by man? Boom, there's your reward. But the other fasted, and they did in secret. They put oil on their head. In other words, they didn't go around telling, bragging everybody how much they were fasting. And your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. The question of your fast is, do you want man's reward? If so, you'll get it. Look how noble he is. What a spiritual person she is. That's your reward. Or do you want the Father's reward? So there's a right way and a wrong way to fast. I don't think there's anything wrong if you kind of get cornered into it by saying, oh no, I'm just not eating today. Don't have to lie and say, well, I ate lunch earlier, so I can't go out with you guys. I'm going to be over here praying for your soul while you partake of the devil's sandwich. I don't think you lose reward if you have to say, no, I'm not going to be eating today. But I will tell you that if you decide to fast a certain kind of food, there's a great chance you'll be offered that food numerous times. You have to make a decision. What will you fast? What do you expect this year? What do you believe in God for? What do you need from God? You need clarity in your life. You need wisdom about a situation. You need direction on what to do, worship team, come. You need breakthrough. You need healing in your life. You need mental, emotional healing. You need physical healing. You need God to deliver you from a bondage or an addiction of any kind. You need supernatural supply from heaven. I told you, this year is a year of conquering. We're going to conquer because we build a foundation in prayer and fasting. We're setting the tone for the year by saying, God, you're first. God, I agree that your plan is better than my plan. God, I understand. I don't know what's best for me. You know what's best for me. Therefore, I ask, let your will be done. Do you need God to break through, cut through a bunch of red tape to show forth victory in your life? Do you need God to help you with an overwhelming problem? It's time to fast. Have you failed in the past and don't want to fail anymore? Are you dealing with a problem that you don't know how to deal with? Do you have unhealthy habits in your life? What is it that you are in need of? Fasting is not just about going without food. It's about gaining and reward. Every time fasting is mentioned in the Bible that I can find, God came through every time. I can't find a situation in the Bible where they fasted and something didn't happen. Every time, the pattern of God is when we obey Jesus and we fast, he comes through in ways many times that we can't even see. Fasting reminds us that we are so weak, but he is so powerful. You know, helplessness in the kingdom is not a bad thing. It's not a handicap. Dependency generates desperation. It stirs our faith. It becomes the catalyst to the supernatural. God, I don't, but you do. God, I can't, but you can. God, I'm not sure, but you have a plan. Fasting shifts our focus and desires. Passion for God begins to overtake the other passions in life. Friend, everybody can do something. I know some of you came in here, and you're maybe hearing something like this for the first time. You're like, my word, what kind of church? Nobody's eating for 3 weeks? What is he talking about? Everybody can do something. I'm working with a guy. He's not here today. And this is new to him. So I threw out a little challenge. I said, hey, let's do this together. So this morning, he told me he's fasting Chinese food, pizza, and staying up past 10. I'm thinking, that is a great start for you, sir. He's never done anything like this. He's starting somewhere, right? He's starting somewhere. And eventually, as we mature, we get beyond this. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands, we are fed. Give us our daily bread. Amen. Man, that's awesome when you're like four. You know what I'm saying? But if you're like 40, and that's the only way you know how to pray, what I would say is your growth has been stunted. So God stretches us. I remember a guy I was working with one time. He says, all right, I'm going to fast, preacher. He still calls me preacher. I'm like, all right, whatever. I guess that's what I do. I'm fasting monster drinks. I'm like, woo, the glory of the Lord is about to show up. He's starting somewhere, right? But at some point, you move past the elementary truths and you get into the mature things. What I'm telling you is everybody can do something. And God will reward you. He will bring the Father's reward. That's the kind of reward that we want. The Father's reward. Number three, I'll commit to something today. I'll just commit to something today. What is it that you can commit to for the next 3 weeks? Number one, come up with a time and place you will meet with God. If you say, I'm going to fast lunch, then your meeting time with God is during that lunch. What I would say is, let that be a supplement to your normal devotion. In other words, do your 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week minimum, and supplement it, add to it your lunchtime fast. Or maybe you're doing a total fast. Guess what? Set aside time during the day when you would be eating or entertaining yourself and fill it with spiritual things. I love butter, pecan, ice cream, especially in the winter. I know that sounds weird. I don't know why I like chocolate chip in the summer and butter pecan in the winter. I don't understand it, but I do. But every time I fast, I get to the end of 3 weeks, and guess what I don't want? I don't even want ice cream. I have to eat 2 or 3 gallons just to get back in the routine of it. I'm kind of joking, but not really. You want to change some habits? Fast and pray. I'll commit today. 1 Corinthians 11:23, here's what it says. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. Here's the truth. Nothing is going to go through you until it first happens to you. Paul said, I received from the Lord and I passed it on to you. You want to have something to give away in 2026? And you've got to receive. Posture yourself at the beginning of the year for God to position you to be a catalyst for His kingdom. Here's a word for some of you. God wants to bless you financially. Some of you have seen the abuse of that statement. What I would say to you is don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. God wants to bless you financially. God wants to bless some of you financially in unbelievable ways because He has unbelievable things He wants you to accomplish for His kingdom. How is it going to accomplish without the resources? God wants to grant some of you unbelievable faith for 2026, and He wants to instill that in you. Set aside time and space at the beginning of the year to set the tone. Nothing is going to come through you until it first happens to you. You can only pass on what you personally experienced. So how do I begin? What do I do? Start with clear goals. Why am I fasting? Here's what happens to me. I start, and then a few days in, my list of why is about this long. I think that's okay. We begin to tune ourselves to God. What are the spiritual realities that I want from God? What am I believing God for? As I pray, God says, in that, you should also pray for this. What are the ways of fellowship and relationships. What am I believing God for in the way of community and relationships and family dynamics and friends? What am I believing God for in the way of discipleship and truth? And what am I believing God for in the way of evangelism? God wants to instill those things in you. What am I believing God for my family's financial future and for the peace in our home and all those things? Be specific and ask God for what you're believing. And here's what I found. If I'm off track, the Holy Spirit will correct me. Start. Prepare spiritually. Confess your sins to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you in your weakness. Don't go into this year with unforgiveness. Release. Listen. You've got to release all those offenses from last year. You got to release them. It is the trap of the enemy to hold you back. You've got to release them. Forgive. Forgive all those who have offended you and ask the Master to forgive you for how you've offended him, and you may need to go to others. Surrender your life fully to Christ. Say, God, I'm yours. In a moment, we're going to observe Holy Communion. We're going to partake of the bread and the juice. We're going to remember the body of Christ. And we're going to stand before him, and I'm going to ask each of you to make a commitment before God on how you want to start your year. I'm going to ask you to have a commitment of total surrender. God, my answer is yes. Now, what's the question? Number two, decide what to fast. So we knew this was coming, so we began to prepare our refrigerator. I was successfully able to get rid of all the butter pecan ice cream by about 12:30. I got rid of it. Totally. After we picked our daughter up from her 28-hour plane ride, I disposed of all the butter pecan. There ain't none left. Esther, the bucket's in the trash can. It's gone. Prepare yourself. Don't say, well, I'm going to do this and do that and not. So we began to prepare the refrigerator. I think we got vegetable soup going. I hope something, because I ain't fasting totally today. I'm easing it. Drink plenty of liquids. Drink water early. Don't drink when you're thirsty. Drink water early. If you fast, drink extra. Drink extra. Get rid of the foods you don't want to eat. Don't have the bag of chips staring at you every day, going, open me. Hide them away. You know where you put the kids' Christmas gifts and you forgot about them in the closet till the next year? You ever had that? Put them in the back. Prepare yourself. Decide what to fast. Partial fast? Daniel fast? Total fast? Mix it up. Some Daniel fasting, some total fasting. Listen, you can go without food more than you think you can. Fast something. Walk with your children through this. Again, if you're overseeing little ones, we do not dictate to little ones they're not going to eat. That's not fasting, that's called abuse. We will call the authorities on you. But walk them through. Maybe we should fast cartoons. And guess what? You're 7, so I don't expect you to go to your room and read your Bible and pray by yourself. Daddy's going to help you. We're going to read some devotions. I'm going to act out Daniel in the lion's den for you. I'm going to do some kids ministry right there in the living room, right? Everybody can decide what to fast. Replace that time with time with him. Come to the prayer meetings. Number 3, decide how long to fast. I'm encouraging you to go 21 days. Some of you we'll go beyond that. Some of you have launched into 21 days and say, you know what I sense? I sense God leading me to continue for a 40-day. And you'll go on, but decide how long you're going to fast. You can fast as long as you want to fast. You can fast for 1 day, 3 days. Maybe you have the grace to go longer. Use wisdom. Pray for guidance. If you've never fasted before, my advice to you would be like if you were going to run a marathon. I would say, hey, let's run a mile first. And then we'll do a 5K. And then we'll go 5 miles. Start somewhere. I would rather you succeed in small things than try something that is so big and you fail and become discouraged. Start somewhere and let God grow you. So what do you expect? In a practical way, when you fast, your body will detoxify. This will cause some mild discomfort. You will become hungry. You will get headaches. You may become a little bit irritated. And you will say to yourself, I thought Pastor said I got a reward out of this. I just want to beat everybody up right now. All that is your flesh dying and it's fighting back. All that is the sugar leaving your system and it takes a few days. All that is your body adjusting. You might have withdrawals from caffeine. And naturally, you're going to have some hunger pains. Don't start a big workout routine and cut way back on your calories. Be careful. Use wisdom. Fasting brings miraculous results. Spend time in praise and worship. So, a little transparency. I don't think I'm doing what the Bible says hypocrites do. We're starting with some Daniel fasting. We're starting with media fasting. We're starting with some TV fasting. We're creating space, right? We're creating space. I'm going to watch just enough news to get mad, and then I'm turning it off. I'm going to replace all that mess. Your world will be okay if you don't hear what CNN has to say for 3 weeks. Your world will be okay if you don't hear what Fox News has to say for a couple weeks. We're going to just create space, create space, create space, create space. Pray through the day. Ask God for strength. Get away from normal distractions. And when you end, don't go to all-you-can-eat buffet. You will thank me later. Matthew 6:33. Here's where we land. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness in all these what? Things. What do you need? I need some things. Seek first His kingdom. Seek first His righteousness. And He's going to give you the things that you need. Don't be so consumed with the things. Be concerned about the kingdom. Be concerned about His righteousness, the right standing you have with Christ. Be concerned with magnifying Jesus and elevating Him. And guess what? The byproduct of that, He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to tell you how to do it. He's going to give you insight. He's going to give you fresh revelation. He's going to give you favor. He's going to advance you. Because why? Because you are concerned about His kingdom and His righteousness, and you're going to do way more in His strength than you are on your own. So that's how we start the year. I know this has been a little different, kind of a teaching style. In your seat, this little cup, I want you to hold it. If you don't have one right there, there's one around you. And if you don't have one, wave your hand in the air and your neighbor's going to find one next to them and put it in your hand. We're going to start the year, first service of the year, serving communion. And in a moment, we're going to eat the bread and drink the cup. So I want you to hold that. And as you prepare for that, I have a question for you. How do you want to enter into 2026? If you've come today with regrets, hang-ups, sins from the past, things that you don't want, you want to leave them in 2025, today is a day of repentance. Today's your day. Now, in a practical way, sometimes these can be a little challenging. If you need help, just wave and someone around you is going to help. Sometimes a little wafer is a little challenging to get out there. Everyone able to pull that back? I don't want anyone to miss. Pastor, you good? Sister, you need some help? I will help you right here. Here. Yeah, it's okay. Here you go, friend. Well, you got it. We got it together. Yeah, it's a little challenging sometimes. I get it. Hey, listen, when you're 95, we'll help you too. Come on. I love this lady. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. There's some things I want to leave in 2025. 2025 can have it. You can keep it. I don't want to take some things into 2026. Who's with me? Let's purge ourselves of all the sins, all the mistakes, all the wrong ways of thinking, all the bad habits from 2025 and step into 2026 with newness. Behold, I make everything new. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. It'll lead us in a prayer before we observe communion. And then we're going to observe communion. And then we're going to make a statement to ourselves and to God of surrender to him. Why don't we bow our heads all across the room? If you're watching at home, I want you to participate too. Take a moment. What is it that God is asking you to leave behind in 2025? Maybe it's just a mindset. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's just a sinful habit that creeped its way. Maybe it's a thought that just became so big in your life, you're like, wait a minute, that's not even God's thoughts. What am I dwelling on that? Why don't we just bring that to the Lord and just pray? I'll lead us and we'll all participate. So just pray this from your seat. I'll lead us together. Lord, we just come before you and we bring to you all the mistakes of 2025. God, we ask for forgiveness of sin, all known sin, God, that we're fully aware of. Master, forgive us. God, unknown sin, things that we weren't even aware were offensive to you. God, make us sensitive to your Holy Spirit and forgive us. Just begin to pray that over your life. All known and unknown sins, oh God. Lord, things maybe that aren't sinful, but they're just not good for us. They're not healthy. They're not helpful. Lord, help us to identify and drop those things. Unhealthy habits that are harmful to us. Unhealthy thought patterns. Self-defeating thoughts. Unscriptural thinking. Lord, habits. Ways of spending. Maybe that aren't sinful, but they're just not helping us. We're just wasting resources when you would have us to do something else. Lord, forgive us for apathy. God, forgive us for being concerned about the things of this world more than we're concerned about you. We confess we need strength to live in the world and not be of the world. Pray that over your life. Master, help us. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Lord, we commit for the next 21 days to set aside time for you, to set aside space for you. Master, show up. Meet every need, oh God. Meet every need. Meet every need. Strengthen all of us. Heal all of us. Strengthen us, oh God. Give us self-control. Strengthen our faith. Pour out your gifts. Give wisdom and understanding. Now, Lord, as we come to you with the elements here, we hold in our hand the wafer that represents the body of Christ. I want you to hold that in your hand. God, we represent, you said, do this as often as you should meet. Do this in remembrance of me. And you took the bread, you passed it, you broke it, saying, this is my body. This is my body for you. Lord, we thank you for the bread. Thank you for your body. Thank you for who you are, Jesus. We partake of you. We consume you today. Now let's eat together the wafer. He took the cup and he passed it around. He said, this is the new covenant of my blood. The covenant that I'm making you with you is a blood covenant. I will go and I will die and my blood will be shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The blood of Jesus is precious blood. His blood is saving blood. It's forgiving blood. It washes us white as snow. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus. We're not ashamed of the blood of Jesus. Without his blood, we could have no mercy. Without his blood, we would be under the curse, but he has freed us from that. So we thank you for your shed blood, for what you suffered on the cross, so we could have life forever, so that we could be with you. And this morning, we drink in remembrance of your shed blood, the new covenant of our faith. Let's drink together. Let's all stand. Here's the conclusion. God, I surrender to you. That's it. God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. I'm yours. I want you to respond in a way that's meaningful for you. I want you to respond in a way that will help give you direction, help set a precedent, respond in a way. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around and kneel right here and say, God, I'm yours. I invite you to respond. You may want to come and stand. You may want to come kneel. You may want to kneel at your seat. You may want to lift your hands. But what I want you to do is do an act of surrender and tell him, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. That's it. I'm yours. I'm yours. And for the next 21 days, we're going to see God move. For the next 21 days, we're going to set aside time, create space. We're going to do some fasting. We're going to see God move. We're going to see breakthrough in our life. And if you need something, now's the time to ask him. If you need breakthrough in your life, now's the time. God, I'm yours. Now show up and show out. God, I'm yours. So, fathers, we conclude and begin the new year. We set aside the old, we begin the new. God, we say we're yours. We're yours.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.